Of all these, Donald Crowhurst was the least likely and ultimately the most tragic. In 1970, not long after Donald Crowhurst's death, Nicholas Tomalin and Ron Hall assembled a masterful narrative entitled The Strange Last Voyage of Donald Crowhurst, this published in England by Hoddard and Stoughton. Today the book remains a true classic of maritime literature. However, there is new information. Documentaries produced and interviews published in the years after The Strange Last Voyage of Donald Crowhurst allow for enhanced insights with regard to several key aspects of the story. I endeavour to make maximum use of all these materials. As well, concerns that Tomalin and Hall quite rightly had regarding libel have gone away with the deaths of two key players whose roles in Crowhurst's misadventure were at times less than honourable, businessman Stanley Best and publicist Rodney Hallworth. Thus, I hope to shed more light on the story than could be done in 1970. Edward Renahan, Wickford, Rhode Island, 14 July 2016. Chapter 1. Forerunners. The first documented solo circumnavigation of the globe was, of course, that of native Nova Scotian Joshua Slocum. Slocum's voyage transacted aboard the Spray, a rebuilt 36-foot 9-inch gaff-rigged oyster sloop, took place from 24th April 1895 to 27th June 1898, departing from Boston and arriving at Newport, Rhode Island. Slocum made many stops along the way to rest himself and refit his vessel, and used the Strait of Magellan rather than braving Cape Horn. Somewhat astonishingly, Slocum, by his own account in his 1899 book Sailing Alone Around the World, relied primarily on pure traditional dead reckoning for calculating longitude using a simple clock rather than the standard chronometer, and he calculated latitude using noon sun sights. During one extended passage, he verified his longitude calculations by shooting a lunar observation, but he did this only once throughout his entire circumnavigation. Importantly, Slocum's vessel seems to have been especially well configured for single-handed sailing. Given an optimal length of sail plan in relation to the hull and an extended keel, the sloop seemed almost made to accommodate self-steering. Slocum was easily able to balance the Spray on a steady course in any wind simply by lashing the helm and adjusting or reefing sails as necessary. According to his book, Slocum sailed a full 2,000 miles west across the Pacific without touching the helm. Slocum's Sailing Alone Around the World became a bestseller both in the United States and Europe. Royalties and fees for public appearances, including bringing his Spray up the Hudson and through the Erie Canal to Buffalo's Pan American Exhibition during the summer of 1901, brought him a measure of financial security. However, in his last years, both his finances and his mental stability failed. He effectively abandoned his wife and family, settling them on a small farm in West Tisbury on Martha's Vineyard, and lived alone aboard the increasingly run-down Spray, which he sailed from port to port along the American East Coast, giving talks and selling books when he could. Slocum and the Spray were lost at sea in November or December of 1909 during a voyage from New England to the West Indies, where Slocum had intended to winter. The second man to solo circumnavigate the world was American Harry Pidgeon. A photographer by trade, the 47-year-old Iowa native built his 34-foot yawl Islander alone, by hand, over the years 1917 and 1918 at the cost of $1,000. He constructed the vessel in the port of Los Angeles on beachfront land where he held nothing more than squatter's rights. Pidgeon crafted the Islander using $2 build-it-yourself plans from Rudder magazine. Specifically, he used Frederick William Gola Jr.'s design called Seagoer. This principally an enlarged version of Thomas Fleming Day's very popular Seabird. Pidgeon built his vessel from oak, Oregon pine, and Douglas fir. Length overall was 34 feet, beam 10 foot 9 inches, draft 5 feet, weight 19 tons. Pidgeon up to this time had been nothing but a weekend coastal sailor. His sea trials for the Islander consisted of several short sails to Catalina Island and back, these followed by a more extensive round-trip voyage to Hawaii. In November of 1921, at 8